Hello, fellas. My name is Joe Grateful Covering Addict.
Wow. Good job. You know, I was over there. You know, when narcotics nod, when you be laughing, that's a sign of identification. You know what I mean? So I was identifying everything he was talking about. You know, trusting the process. I'm going to read something from the second step. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore to sanity. Since then that we came to believe suggests a process. Belief is the result of consideration, doubt, reasoning, and concluding. The ability to form beliefs is part of what it means to be made in God's image. It said we start with our own experience and we see what doesn't work. Looking at the condition of our lives, we realize that we don't have enough power to overcome our dependencies. We try with all our might, but to no avail. When we are quiet enough to listen, we hear that still small voice inside saying, there's a powerful way to stop and let God help. Recognizing our internal weakness is the first step toward recovery. When we look beyond ourselves, we see that there are others who have struggled with addiction and recovered. It says, we conclude that there must be a power that help them, since we can see the similarities between their struggles and our own. We came to believe in that power. This is where many people find guidance and help. Well, you know, I was like tripping when he was talking about going to cop and waiting and all that there. And, you know, because nobody don't go. I was sitting there because I was thinking to myself, like, nobody never goes up to the, well, I never went to the, up the cop or tried the cop and asked them what they cut the dope with. You know, like, you know, I never did. You know what I mean? I trust that process. I never said, well, did you use B12? Did you use quinine? You know, what you cut this, did you use baking soda? You know, there's no negotiation, and it's more about action than it is about, you, because there's a certain way, it's a certain mannerism that I use when I cop, when I have money. It's a certain way I walk, I'm confident, I got money, and there's a certain way I go when I'm short and I don't have no money. You know what I mean? I kind of walk faster. You know what I mean? When I'm confident and I got money, I'm sure myself, like, I got $100, I'm cool, right? But when I got, like, $7, I kind of, like, ease up. You know what I mean? Keep counting it over and over like it's going to check. You know, you ever do that? I mean, I did that. I mean, I would have $7 and count it like it was 70. It's still 7. I'll go. Put in my pocket, fold it, you know, and everybody will be copping. You know how it is when you're copping. Everybody's coming, they're copping, they're leaving. And yeah, I'm still hanging around with the $7. Waiting to see if I can give me a look like, come on, win it. Or I can see somebody copping that I know that will pitch in with me. Y'all know the scenario, man. You know. I came in this process of Narcotics Anonymous by way of 1333 Brighton Road, which is a shelter on the north side of Pittsburgh called Pleasant Valley Shelter. And in that process, you know, God has a way of doing for me, and you'll find yourself as long as you stay here, of doing for me what I can't do for myself. You know, I never knew that dope or drugs was my problem. That's the last thing. I was like, oh, I just need a job. I just need a good job. I just need a car. I just need the right woman. I just need, and it didn't dawn on me until I found myself laying on this mattress in a shelter with about 25, 30 guys who was, some of them were Vietnam vets, and it stink, and it just smelled like horrible. And I woke up in that place, and somebody in there, one of the counselors said, man, you look like you got, you ain't been asleep. You look like you got a problem. And I said, yeah, you're right. I need a job, a house, a car. You know, I told him, he said, no, man, you've been getting high, man. And I was like, no, man, I just, you know, even though the evidence was I was wearing like a buck 60, you know, Isaiah 165, because I stood on the scale, pressed down on my toes. Just to, you know what I mean? You know the lies we tell ourselves. And I was caught up in the grip, man, and in that process, man, when you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you had to be at the shelter at 8 o'clock, then you have to come back. So I'm here, and he tells me where to go. He says, go to 951 10th Avenue, the same place that told you to get here. He said, just go back down there. So I don't know about anybody. You ever, like, that walk when you spend all your money, you don't want to go home type walk, like, with your head down? That one, you know, like, it's over. You know what I mean? But you don't know it's over because if you see something on the ground, you might get another start or a good rest. And I'm walking. And I'm walking from the north side of Pittsburgh downtown. And I'm walking with my head down. And I found out I got to the shelter. So, I mean, I got to the meeting. Didn't know it was a meeting. I just walked in there. Check out the process. So I go in there, and I see the guy who gave me a bus ticket and the address to get into the shelter. So I go in there, it's about, meeting starts at 10 o'clock, so it's about 8:30, 9 o'clock. He said, hang around, get some coffee, eat a donut, hang out. So all these people start coming in, and they, like, hugging each other, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, they're greeting each other, hugging, and setting up, you know, I was here, and I'm sitting in the back of the meeting on the little couch. I'm watching this stuff, and I'm looking. I don't know what's going on, and they had a little kitchen area. So it's getting too crowded. I'm paranoid. I've been smoking crack, doing dope all for the last, like, week. I'm, like, skitzing. And so I go into the kitchen area because I don't want to be around nobody. So I'm standing in the kitchen area, and they had a lady. Her name was Mona J. And they was doing clean time. And she was one of them type of ladies who would come visit you if you was new. You know what I mean? If you just walked in a meeting, she could just look at you and tell that you had 24 hours. And if you didn't get up and go get a key tag, she would come get you. So I'm standing there, and she's doing the clean time, and you know how to do clean. Anybody 24 hours, da 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 da. So now it's a room full of people. Now I'm scared in the kitchen area, so I peek like this, and they doing clean time, and I said I ain't going up here. I didn't know I needed to go up here. I didn't identify myself as an addict or anything yet. So that day went down. I did that like about 3 or 4 days in a row. Got up, left the shelter, went down there, hung out all day. They had meetings all day from like 10 in the morning to like 5 at night. Went back to the shelter. About the third day, I'm in the kitchen of my little hiding spot. I peek around the corner and she says, "Dave, you, come here." So she don't know me. I'm like, she don't know me. She's like, well, I know she ain't hollering at me. So I said, let me peek again to make sure. So I peeked around the way. She said, yeah, you motherfucker. Come here. I've been seeing you peek around the corner. And I said, oh, I got to fight a lady, man. You know what I mean? It's in my mind. I said, oh, I got to fight a lady. I ain't never fight a lady. Let me call my mom and tell her to get down here. So she's halfway coming to get me, and I picked out again, and she grabbed my hand, and she walked me to get a key tag, and tears went boom. And I cried, man, and that was the longest walk that I ever had to do in my life. That was harder than the 19 years I did in penitentiary. Walking up to get a 24-hour key tag scared to death. No, we don't cry, man. You know we don't cry. You know we don't let nobody see us hurt. But when I surrendered in that process that we're talking about, it was uncontrollable tears, and I was free. What was I free from? The bondage of addiction. That's what I was free from. The stuff that told me, when I get bad as him, I quit. When I get bad as her, I stop. I'll never tell my food stamps. You know what I mean? I'll never steal off my mom. Check this out. The process. Got 6 months. 6 months. I don't know about y'all. 6 months, I knew all the steps and everything. Couldn't tell me shit. was. I was a guru. I knew everything. I had a plan. I said, I'm gonna go home. I was staying in the recovery house, but on the weekend I got to go home. So I called my mother's house. I said, I got it this time. And I got the basic text, and I folded each part of the reading, and I was gonna have my family read. We was gonna have a meeting. So my sister was there, my aunt was there. I said, okay, you read this part. They going with me too. They're like, you read this part, you read this part, you read this part. We're gonna do Who's in the Attic. We're gonna do the reading. Man, I put that book out there. I said, hold up. You're sick. We are all right. We don't got to do this here stuff. So, and then my mom was like, you got 6 months clean now. I was like, yeah, well, I'm folding a blue cheek tag. You know, I ain't using no drugs, this, that, and other. She said, oh, yeah. She said, well, go get my dad microwave you stole out of here. Since you got 6 months. Because I was taking anything that wasn't bolted down, man. You know what I mean? I'm not one of the literature that use and lives and lives to use. You know, anything and everything. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, I don't get involved with what type of drug, because I'm an addict. I can get hooked on anything. Smells good, look good, taste good, but most of all, it feels good. I'll be hooked like a research monkey. And you know what they do to research monkeys after that? They turn into lab rats. And that's how I was, a lab rat, man. I couldn't wait around for no damn heroin. I couldn't wait around, man. Give me something to drink. I mean, 2-3 Tylenol, Tylenol, anything. You know what I mean? They were a drug of my choice. Anything was in your voice was a drug of my choice. Anything, especially if I couldn't pronounce it. Give me 4 of them. What's it saying again? Well, give me 2 more of them. You know what I mean? I couldn't wait. I'm an addict, man. I can't wait on those special. I don't know how y'all do it. I only use heroin. Not me. I'm using anything and everything because I don't want to feel. And if you've been here long enough, you know this is a disease of feeling. You know what I mean? And the feelings never killed nobody. It's my response to the feeling that really hurt me. And during this process, that's what we learned. You know what I mean? I did everything they told me to do. That's why I'm standing here today. You know, my sponsor told me early in recovery, check this out. You save $1 for 90 days, and after 90 days, if you don't like the way you feel, your misery can't be refunded. People are dying out there, man. I said, I'm not going to be the one. I said, I'm not going to be the one, man. I'm going to see what's going to happen. I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to do like he said. ABC, ashtrays, brooms, and chairs. I was going to cigarette box, I'll pick that shit up. I wasn't sitting over there. But they said, check this out. You practice this stuff, and then you learn how to take this stuff home with you, you're going to be okay. I just thought you had to do that in me. But all that stuff they say, show up early, stay late, that's real. Show up on the job, stay late. That's character building stuff, man. I don't know what's going on. All I'm looking at, look, all I know is I've been out there, been in the penitentiary, I don't know. I see women all over the place, nice smelling, oh, they looking good. Oh, they wasn't all cracked out, smoked out, and used, and they were saying, how you doing, real polite, smelling good? I said, I ain't going nowhere. Oh, hell no, up in New York College Anonymous? I said, I ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean? I don't know about y'all, but they was not looking like they was looking in here. Well, I came from, you know, them up, you know, you go get the physical practice of getting here because I put my little clothes on. I said, oh, shit, I like this. But this process, man, you know, that's the beginning process. And then, you know, I stay involved with the fellowship, you know, got on the table committee, H&I, did what my sponsor told me to do, and start working the steps. You know, and start working these steps. You know, it took me a minute to get the concept of what the sponsor-sponsee relationship was about. And what had happened is, once I built a relationship with my sponsor, I began to trust his process until I had one of my own. I didn't have no process. The information in the literature and the reading was my process. And then I start working the steps, and then I got a process. I just follow what my sponsor said do. You know what I mean? I'm like, why do I got to pick up cheers and stuff? He's like, every time you pick up a cheer, you don't think about using. And he told me, it's always about using. Don't get it twisted. It's always about using. Because this disease, not only is it cunning, not only is it baffling, not only is it powerful, not only is it insidious, not only is it fatal, but this disease we suffer from is patient. It'll wake you out. It'll wake you to get your man back, husband back, children back, cars back, keys to your parents, vacation home. It'll wake you out, man, if you ain't doing no work. It'll wake. And it'll whisper in a voice that'll be your own. And only you can hear. You can get one. But this process, man, that I'm in today got to do with me working the steps vigilantly with that high working wild step every guy. If you ain't got one, I suggest you get one. There's some questions in there. There's some internal stuff that I got to dig up, man. Don't matter how long I've been clean. The process is I'm getting better on making some life-on-life decisions. You know what I mean? I went back to school, too. You know what I mean? And it ain't nothing like, man, it ain't nothing like your, because if you ain't get high with some people, then your family really knows you. Like, my family really know me. They can, like, look at me like, oh, he's lying. He's lying. You know what I mean? Your family can, you know, there's some members of your family, mom, pop, brother, sister, whoever, can just, they just have this sense. And we have this sense about some family. So family really can know. And to have family, like, look at you coming from being the, just coming from the tail being the head. Now, that's how bad I was. Thanksgiving, New Year's and shit. I was so bad that my mother no more than let me in the crib. They would have a plate ready for me, and all you could see was an arm with a plate on it. Like, here, thank you. We don't even want to look at you. We got other family members over here from out of town and stuff, and I don't want them to want you embarrassing me coming in looking like you ain't slept in a week with the same damn clothes on. So I would have a plate. My mom would have a plate at the door, and all I see was a hand. It'd be some food. And I take the food back to the sitting and eat it. You know, because the last time they would let me in there, I would scramble around to aunt, uncle's, grandmother's purses. They'd see me a week later. Did you see Aunt Jenny's wallet? Nope. Nope. I didn't even know she carried a purse. Nope. Didn't even know. Nope. You know, all kind of jewelry be missing. And then I start coming, and my mother would, you know, and everybody, the kids would be, you know, she'd deputize and say, follow his ass anywhere he goes. You know what I mean? And then they just said, you can't come. And they just said, there's a plate at the door. You know what I mean? And that, through that process, through this process of Narcotics Anonymous, learning how to not use any drugs at bed and stuff, now I go from the tail to the head. Now I'm the power of attorney of my mom. Now I got the keys to everything. I'm her number one go-to man. I'm number one. I'm the go-to man in my family now. And that's what this process do. You know what I mean? Through the grace of God and this process of Narcotics Anonymous, if you work in the steps through the birth of my ability, I'm number one. I'm the go-to man. I'm the go-to man in my family and all my family. Cousins, aunts, uncle, phone be blowing up. What do I do? Where do I go? What do I say? How do I do this? How do I do that? I'm the man. But I didn't try to be the man. Through this process, this is what happens. God, through this process, here's what happens. They get to see the process. See, we're living examples of what God does. We really don't got to say nothing because we're doing the work. If you're doing the work, you really ain't got to do so much rapping. Your work speaks for itself. But my work speaks for itself. From the shelter to standing up down University of Pittsburgh with a master's degree.
It speaks for itself.
And it's a sailor.
Is that?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. The same one that looked like Pookie in New Jack City. That's me. That's me.
That's me. Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
that's me with the Catholic gown.
That's right.
That's my family right there. And you know the whole shot that we give, not only each other, you know what I mean? Because this is about being selfless, not selfish. You know, in this process, you don't know who's watching you. You don't know. Next door neighbor's son, next door neighbor's daughter, you don't know who's watching you. You know what I mean? So I try to present myself with this literature and live this to the best of my ability at all times. You don't know who's watching. You don't know who's going to come up through this process and say, how you do it. I got a brother in recovery. He used to sell dope next door to the front of the meeting. And I walked right past his ass. He was like, where you going? I'm like, going to the meeting. He was like, oh, yeah? What they doing there? I said, I don't know. But I'm going. Year later, he called me, right out of detox. Yo, bro, what am I supposed to do? Get to a meeting. I'll meet you there. See how the process works? As long as I'm in line and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, God's going to place those I'm supposed to get a message to in my life. I don't have to recreate the wheel. All I got to do is stay in line. You know what I mean? This process and this journey I'm on, it gets scary because you be around, you come around, man. You come with a crew, okay?
Okay.
You come around, so, you know, when I came around, I came with a crew, man. But on this journey, man, this, you start growing spiritually, and it gets lonely. And then don't be like 10 of y'all going to a meeting no more. It'll be 5. Then it'll be 4. Then it'll be 3. Then it'll be seem like you be working steps. Life comes up, job, kids, grandkids. Vacation, all that shit, man, and then you be like, damn, where anybody at? Where anybody at? Am I on a journey by myself? Well, that's just the process. And the process is good. I love step work. I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, this, I ain't got nowhere else to go. I don't know about nobody else. I don't got nowhere else to go. You know what I mean? I come to a meeting, they tell me why am I here. Sometimes I don't know why I'm here. Some days I just want to go to a meeting to hang out, man, in a safe environment. Sometimes I don't hear nothing. I'm just sitting here, drinking some coffee. Some days I'm plugged in. You know what I mean? But through this process, I know what not to do and not get high no matter what. And why do I know that? Because I've seen some people go through some stuff tougher than mine and didn't use no dope. And I came around just to watch them. Because I didn't even know you were supposed to get out until I came here. I'm like, you're supposed to get out the rest of your life. You're supposed to drink, or at least smoke a joint, do your toast. I didn't even know, man. You know, I kept questioning, why are you, they said, you know, because you don't make good decisions when you got to move, alter your mind, change the chemical in you. And I don't make good decisions when I'm lit. I never made good. Only good decision I made was to go try to get more, which turned out to be a bad decision. You know, so on this journey, in this process, it's good. It's going to be up. It's going to be down. My thing is, if I keep saying, just hold on. I just learned to hold on and align myself with some people who's on the journey with me. Just because we all in here, we all ain't going the same way. And I learned that in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You'll find out who's going your way. It'll just come naturally to you. There's some stuff that happens on this in this process that's intuitive. Nobody can see it, but you can feel it. You know, and then the decisions that happen, it just happens. You know, I just turn it over to God. That's it. Third step type stuff. Third step. You know what I mean? 11th step, prayer and meditation. You know what I mean? And that, and I just love the fellowship, man. Plus, I don't know where else to go. I don't got nowhere to go. They got other fellowships, they got 12-step cocaine and gambling. I don't know about all that. You know what I mean? They got gambling and Christian, and I ain't knocking no, I'm just saying, this is my thing here. This is work for me. You know what I mean? And I don't, push it on nobody. And I work in treatment. I've been working in treatment for 15 years. You know what I mean? I've been working in treatment for 15 years. You know what I mean? And I don't push this on nobody because this is my process. And my process tells me to keep the focus on my recovery. You know, when I keep the focus on my recovery in this process, man, the sky's the limit. You heard the man talk about his own business. I mean, we've been getting it in. Them other fellas need to check us out. Because we got it going on in here. You know, where we come from, they ain't been. You know what I mean? So y'all been, hey, I'm telling you, man, this is the greatest show on earth. My name's Joe and I'm at it.